In the name of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. It's a great pleasure to be here with you this morning to celebrate the festival of your patron saint, St. John the Evangelist. It's good to be back at St. John's. 25 years ago, I was the curate in this parish. I remember giving some of my first sermons from this pulpit, and I remember the kindness and encouragement of parishioners which I received then. This is so important for newbie priests. As I look out over the congregation now, it is really good to see a lot of people whom I knew all those years ago. My husband Trevor and I are looking forward to saying hello to everybody after the service. A special thank you to Father Peter French, your vicar, and to his colleagues for the warm hospitality that they have offered me this morning. So, what does it mean to have St. John the Evangelist as your patron saint? What is it about St. John and his life and faith that is specially significant? What is it that we may want to hold close to our hearts about his life and cherish as a parish or in our own personal life as a Christian and an Anglican? Or, to put it in a more traditional way, what is the charism of St. John for us today? First, let us look a little at St. John's life. We are told in the Gospels that St. John was the son of a man named Zebedee and the brother of the apostle who came to be known as St. James the Great. They were fishermen, and both were called to be disciples by Jesus early in his public ministry. Jesus called John and James the sons of thunder, apparently because they had hot tempers. In Mark's Gospel, we read that the two brothers competed with one another, each asking Jesus for the place of honour in his future kingdom. Jesus' reply was to ask them whether they would be able to drink the cup of hardship and suffering which would be required of them, as he himself would drink that cup. We do not know if this episode was a real turning point in John's life, but we do know that he comes to be known in the Gospels as the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the only one of the 12 disciples who did not desert Jesus during his passion and death. He stood faithfully at the cross where Jesus, as he was dying, made him effectively the guardian of his mother Mary. Scholars identify this, John taking Mary into his home, as the formation of the first Christian community. John's later life appears to have been passed first in Jerusalem and then at Ephesus, which is situated in modern-day Turkey. We get this information from early church historians and from legend rather than from the New Testament itself. It is believed that St. John founded a number of churches in the Turkey region, which was referred to as Asia or Asia Minor. He fell afoul of the Roman authorities for his preaching, and he was exiled to the rocky little island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, possibly around the year 75. John is said to have returned from this exile at some point and lived out his life in Ephesus, living to an extreme old age, dying about the year 100. St. Jerome reported that in old age, St. John would tell his fellow Christians that they should love one another. It is the Lord's commandment, and if it alone is kept, it is sufficient. John is believed to be the only one of the 12 apostles who did not die a martyr's death, although he was certainly persecuted, and he certainly drank the cup of suffering mentioned by Jesus. In contrast with other apostles, whose legends are often about their deaths, legends about John are about how he somehow survived martyrdom. There's a symbol that's really common in stained glass windows in churches, a symbol of John holding a chalice out, and from out of it a snake or a dragon is coming. This refers to the story of an attempt to poison St. John using the consecrated wine in a Eucharistic chalice. But John survived, and it was, in the end, the assassin who died. Now, the term Johannine literature is a term which is the collective name that is given to the five books of the New Testament whose authorship has been traditionally attributed to St. John. These books are John's Gospel, the three letters or epistles of John, John 1, 2 and 3, and the book of Revelation. More recently, scholars have been much less certain that St. John is the author of all or even any of these books. But they do show strong common themes, and it is agreed that these five books are linked in some way. Love, the love of God and the love that Christians should show, especially to one another, is a core theme of this literature. One theory is that in St. John's later life in Ephesus, he may have served as the inspiration for the books in a range of ways, which were then written by other people. He may have indeed been the founder of a community of early Christian thinkers and storytellers. All the letters of John, but particularly 1 John, from which we had our New Testament reading this morning, all the letters emphasise God's love as being the defining characteristic of the nature of God. So it's in 1 John, a little bit further on from our reading this morning, that we find the simple but very profound phrase, God is love. Love is also presented in the letters as a way for believers to demonstrate their relationship with God as the bedrock for their relationships with each other. And this ties in with that saying of St. John, which was that if you love one another, that is enough. Because he's implying there that if you love one another deeply enough, then you cannot but help to love God as well. In the Gospel of John, as well as in the Book of Revelation, another major Johannine theme, as we term it, is apparent. The world is represented as a place of darkness and opposition to God's will, and is contrasted with the kingdom of God, which has light, truth, and love. So it does tend to make an understanding for Christians as having to live within a world which is never, they never feel is quite where they are at home, because it is not completely infused with the God, with the love of God, and represented at all times. So our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 20 is set on the first Easter morning. In fact, we would have all heard it a few weeks ago. So it's set, it says in the gospel, while it is still dark. In other words, while the disciples believe that Jesus has been killed and the forces of evil have triumphed. We then hear how Mary Magdalene runs to tell Simon Peter and the other disciple, who is identified very often by scholars as being St. John, to tell them that she has found that Jesus' tomb is empty. Peter and John see that the tomb is empty, and they believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. So in the story, the darkness is going and the truth is revealing itself. The story goes on to tell of Jesus appearing resurrected and triumphant to Mary Magdalene in the garden where his tomb lay, and the light and the truth of God has triumphed. Now, that the fifth book in the Johannine literature, the Book of Revelation, we can often associate as being about terrifying end times and divine judgment. But it also emphasizes the ultimate victory of good over evil. In the Book of Revelation, we hear how the divine kingdom will be established and God's justice will be fully revealed. So, thinking back over John's life and the literature that he's associated with, this valuable part of our New Testament, what is the charism of St. John for us today, corporately and individually? Well, John's life shows us that we can all grow and mature in our faith, and our maturity as Christians progresses through our lives. That's what happened for him. We see him, we see snippets of his life, as first as a young, impetuous man, something happening to him through the time he knew Jesus, but his growth and maturity through the whole of the rest of his life. We can be hot-headed and pushy when we're young, but more humble and accepting as we grow older. We can be confident of God's love and of the ultimate triumph of good over evil, no matter how difficult the situation is in the world or in our own lives at any one time. We do not need to live without hope. We can also choose to live by John's very simple and profound maxim of loving one another. Jesus' message to us doesn't need to be made unnecessarily complicated. Praying and being a loving and contributing member of a community of Christians was a hallmark of John's life, and we can all seek to emulate that. The Lord be with you. Thank you.